perfect in this world, if you are to wait till you find a perfect preacher or a perfect meeting, I'm afraid you will have to wait till the millennium. What we want is to be looking up to Christ. Let us be done with fault finding. And that's a reason I want to read it. That's how I feel sometimes. I'm one of the worst representatives Christ could ever pick. And I'm certainly not as successful as D.L. Moody was. He was a very successful preacher, well-read preacher. But I thought when I read that, that was something I wanted to share with my church. We need to be done with the fault finding. All of us. From the pulpit to the back door. Be done with fault finding. Amen. 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter. We'll talk about the reasons for worship today. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 3. Now we know this is right after that Solomon had, he was dedicating the temple. He'd finally got it built, got it furnished, got everything done, and they went to the dedication. And it says, when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Father, this morning, we once again bless your name. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have had today to lift your name and worship you in song. We thank you, Lord, now that we can worship you in word. And, Lord, that we're going to worship you in receiving. And then we're going to take and give what we've received in a worship to you. We're going to learn, Lord, how and why we are to worship, and we are going to become better worshipers of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Of course, the meaning of worship we talked about last Sunday for just a little while. Worship, simply the act of paying honor or homage to a deity or a religious reference to, it's a religious reference to or homage to something that you find important in your life. It doesn't necessarily have to be a religious deity or God. People worship a lot of different things. We worship things. Really, we do. And if we're not careful, each of us, even myself, will worship something other than God. If I am not careful, something will take the place of God in my everyday life. So we need to learn how to be natural worshipers of God, because to worship is as natural as to live. It's a part of what God has given us. It's a feeling or expression that of high adoration or reverence or trust or loyalty or dependence upon a higher power. Well, I don't know about you. I think I know about some of you, but I'm dependent upon God. He's that higher power that I am dependent upon. I need him in every aspect of my life. I've learned that over the years. I've come to respect that need of God. I've come to honor that need I have of God in my life. I don't want to be without God in my life. I want him to be in every aspect of my daily life. And so throughout every day, and I don't take me wrong, I have my attitudes. And I have my days when I'm not on the top of the game. I have days when I can get angry. You know, there's days, I mean, we all go through those days. But throughout the day, I try to check myself, check my spirit, bring myself in under control and worship God. Because everything I do as a representative of him either brings glory to him or I can bring some shame to him. I don't want to shame him by my lifestyle. So I try to be a person of worship, whether I'm at home or at church or at Walmart or Fire Lake grocery store. I had to say grocery store because some of you say, well, he said, what goes to Fire Lake? I've never been. I've been in the casino when it was a bowling alley. That's the only time. And I'd even go back there when it was a bowling alley and a bingo parlor. I never went to the bingo part. Okay, so when I say Fire Lake, y'all know I didn't go there. I either went and ate a taco, some pizza, Subway sandwich, or I went to the grocery store. Okay, I didn't go to the casino. We don't believe in it. You might, but I don't. I believe it's a wasting of funds that God has given you to build His kingdom and to finance and to take care of your family. Now that made somebody mad. I don't care. You're wasting your money when you give it to the casino. Now I know we have some folks that work at the casino here, and I appreciate that you have a job. I really do. And I want you to have a job. Don't get me wrong. But I don't approve of casinos. I'm going on record to say that today, okay? What's that got to do with worship? Probably nothing, but I just think I need to go on record sometime so that you know where I stand. I love you to death, but you know where I stand about that. And I can guarantee you, if you go to a casino, you start putting whatever. I don't even know what you put in. I don't even know what to have anymore. I don't know what to have. When you start putting money into those machines, hoping that you can get some money back, you've begun to worship a machine. That's become your resource and your source when God is your source and your resource. So we're still talking worship here. Let's move on before I really get in trouble. It's natural to worship. It could be something real, it could be something imaginary, but every worship appeals to everybody in a certain degree, and that something that you worship determines how you worship. You understand? If you've got something over here that you really love more than you love God, you're going to worship that and you're going to put it first. And God wants you to put Him first. He didn't say you couldn't have a husband. He didn't say you shouldn't have a family. He didn't say you shouldn't have some good clothes. He didn't say you shouldn't have a home. He didn't say you shouldn't go to the lake once in a while. He didn't say you couldn't go fishing. He didn't say you couldn't enjoy life. But He said that shouldn't be first and foremost in your life. Everything you do should be according to Him and to His good pleasure. And you ought to be worshiping Him. I can go to the lake and worship God. I can be at a family reunion to worship God. I don't have to be at church to worship God, but God expects you to go to church to worship Him. It's the truth. He expects you to go to church to worship Him. I had a lady one time come to our church and she wanted to preach, speak. So I'm a preacher. I said, okay, I'll let you speak some Wednesday night. So I led her up on a Wednesday night. And you know what she talked about? I just love to go out and sit in a tree and worship a tree. Like, you say what? And I'm letting you talk to people about this. Yeah, you can worship God right out there sitting under that tree. That's just, and worship that tree and hug that tree. And man, you're getting close to God out there. Oh my goodness, what have I done? I'm going to have to undo something here now. I undone it too. She didn't speak no more neither. Her marriage lasted about that long too. Because she wasn't worshiping God. She got off into something she shouldn't get into. You got to be careful, ladies and gentlemen. You could get off to worshiping something you hadn't ought to be worshiping. And it can lead you astray. So let me move on. So worship is as old as humanity. It has its root in the necessity of the human soul as native to the human soul as the consciousness of God itself, which, you know, we should compel us to testify, by word or deed and show our love and gratitude to the author and the giver of life. God gave you life. You ought to worship Him for that. You ought to thank Him for that. You may, yeah, but you don't know what kind of life I've got. I don't know what kind of life you've got, but I know what kind of life you could have if you would stop worshiping other stuff and really begin to worship God and put God first. I know how God would do a turnaround in your life. You mean He'd make things better? I don't know if things would get better like you want them to get better, but I can guarantee your attitude about them would get better. And your response to those things would be better. And your worship to God would be more grateful and thankful because you would begin to worship the true living God, not something. Things won't bring you life. Things won't bring you peace. Things won't bring you joy. But God will. Jesus said this, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But the thief came to kill, steal, and destroy. Boy, he's destroyed a lot of lives, hadn't he? Still working at it. But God's still better. God's still bigger. God's still more powerful than the devil. So, we are the church. We're not only his representative on the earth, we are his temple of divine service on the earth. And we ought to be worshiping him, serving him, and perfecting our worship while we're here. See, I talk about this all the time, and somebody said, well, I don't worship like some people do, and we don't expect you to. Everybody worships different. But you ought to be a person of worship. You ought to be a person of worship. We come to church, and do we sing all these different songs? I mean, it doesn't matter to me whether we sing a newer type song or we sing out of the song books. I can worship God. I can worship him just as well singing I'll Fly Away as I can shout to the Lord. Because I didn't come for a concert. I didn't come to be built up by the musicians or the singers. I come to lift up the name of Jesus and to worship God. So I can worship singing Just a Little Talk with Jesus. I could worship by singing Amazing Grace. Or I can sing some song off the wall and I'll still worship. Worship style doesn't make the worship service. If the person's heart's right and they come to worship God. Well, Pastor, I think if you turn down the lights, get a little fog going, modernize a little bit, we could probably build this church. At what cost? Not saying that's wrong, but that ain't us. That's not me. It won't happen under my tenure. That's not me. Next guy comes along, that might be him. Might be the new church. I don't know. I'm telling you though, folks, you're going to learn to worship. Regardless of the quality of the music, the musicians, the singers, you worship God. Now, there's some reasons to worship. Let me get to them. I got a lot of scripture and I hadn't even got started yet. Too busy trying to aggravate people to preach, I guess, how some thinking. And that's not my goal, by the way. Simply, first reason, simply, God commands it. God commands worship. 1 Chronicles 16:29 says, give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness by giving him the glory that's due his name. He deserves the glory. He deserves the praise. He deserves the honor. We don't deserve it. We don't really deserve any praise. We don't deserve any glory. Those little gods that you've set up that are about that big, or those little things that you think are more important to God, they cannot save you to the uttermost. They cannot meet and supply your need. They will not take you, usher you into heaven one day. They will not add one bit of stature to your being. They can't do anything for you, but God is God. He's a God that created you. He's a God that deserves your praise, and we ought to give him the glory that is due his name. It is tragic that many worship gods that they can carry, that not the God that can carry them. I give God the praise today. I don't worship some little God that can't do anything for me. I worship a God that when I'm down, he'll pick me up. I worship a God when I'm in the miry clay, he'll pull me out. I worship a God that when I'm sick, he'll heal me. I worship a God that when I need finance, God will provide it as long as I've been faithful. I worship a God that'll carry me through every storm, every trial, every heartache, everything that'll come my way. I worship a God that can carry me through it all. I worship the true God, the only living God, the only God that will ever be God. Amen. But people want to worship a God that can't do nothing for them. I worship a God, if I'll trust Him, He'll restore a marriage. I worship a God that I trust Him, He'll save my nephew in the jail in Lafayette, Indiana. I trust a God that when my brother-in-law was on his deathbed, both my brother-in-laws have been on their deathbed at one time or another. I had one that could have bled out at any time because of a colon issue. And God at Presbyterian Hospital, Deaconess Hospital in about 1974 healed him and saved him on his hospital bed. I was there when it happened. I know it happened, and I was there in Lafayette, Indiana, or Indianapolis, Indiana, just a few years ago when David Smith, my sister's husband, was laying near death on a Thanksgiving day. And I tell you, just a few days later, after prayer and supplication, not just by us but by people around the nation, and he walked out of that hospital. He hadn't been totally healed yet, but I'm telling you something. He should have died that Thanksgiving, but he walked out of that hospital. That's the kind of God I serve. A God that when you praise Him and when you worship Him and when you trust Him, He'll lead you out. Come on now. He deserves our praise. Jesus said, Satan tried to tempt Him to worship Him. I don't know how dumb Satan is, but he must be pretty dumb to come to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou worship." He tried to lead him astray, but Jesus put him in his place. You know what? You ought to put him in his place every now and again when he tries to lead you astray. I've got people with messed up marriages that walked away from God. They shouldn't have walked away from God. They ought to have said, "Devil, get behind me. You're not going to destroy my marriage. You're not going to cause me to give up on God. You're not going to cause me to quit the church." They should have said, "Get behind me, Satan. I won't worship my marriage. I'm going to worship God, and then God's going to restore my marriage." It's the truth. So, if you look at Exodus, the 20th chapter, and I won't go over and read them. The first four commandments, every one of them, you want to go over and read Exodus 23:2-10. The first four commandments, every one of them, deal with worshiping God. That's all that deals with, the first four, to worship God. Putting God first. Honoring God. That's what it is. It's about worshiping the true God. The only true God. And to allow any person or anything to usurp the worship or the position of lordship, His lordship over us, or allow them to come in and cause you to worship them, constitutes gross disobedience to the will of God and incurs His wrath. You say, "Well, I'm a Christian." Well, that's good. You ought to be worshiping God. If you're a Christian, you're not worshiping God, and you're letting other things come in, you're getting yourself in a position that you're going to get yourself in trouble before long. Because if nothing else happens, God's going to lift His covering. He's going to lift His blessing. He's going to leave you open to the attacks of the enemy. "Oh, I don't believe that." Well, let me just read a scripture to you. Maybe that'll help you. Let's read Exodus, the 20th chapter, and the 5th verse. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. And this is part of the Ten Commandments. And this is what the Word of God says. "You shall not bow down to them nor serve them." Now, what was he talking about? Carved images, anything in heaven or earth or beneath the earth that's under the water, under the earth, you shall not bow down to them nor serve them. "For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me." I will visit your children, your children's children, your children's children's children, if you don't start worshiping me. But listen to the next verse. He says, "But showing mercy to the thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments." Come on now. Moses made it clear that really, the children weren't going to be punished for their sins of their parents, but children would feel the impact of the breaches of the non-worship of their parents. The things you do affect your family. If I stop living for God, it's going to affect her. If I was to backslide and walk away today and say, I'm done with it, it would affect her. It would affect my children. Although they're grown, it still would affect them. It would affect my grandchildren. If I was to fall off into sin today, it would do great spiritual damage to my grandchildren. Because grandpa fell. I'm not going to chance that. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to serve God. He deserves my worship. He demands it. I'm not going to let anything usurp their authority over my worship. I'm not going to let anything get in the way. I am destined to pay homage to God, and so are you. Even so, unwillingly, many people, well, I'm not going to do it. Yes, you will. Philippians, the second chapter in the 10th verse says this concerning that. I just assume worshiping now. I'm going to worship him now. But here's what it says. Well, I ain't going to worship God. I'm not going to bow down. I'm not going to give up what I'm doing. I don't think I have to. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Goes back to this scripture right here. You are not to worship anything in the heaven or in the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down or serve them. And what's he saying? If you don't begin to serve God, here's what's going to happen. All those things you used to worship in the earth, in the heavens, in the earth, and under the water, all those things, everything will confess. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You better get to worship Him now. One of these days He's going to force you to your knees and you're going to pay homage to God, but it's going to be eternally too late. Now, what is it that is to you more important to serving than serving God? What is it that's taking the place in your life of serving God? Boy, it ain't worth it, I can guarantee you. If you let bitterness, a root of bitterness spring up in you, and that's more important to you than serving God, if you let hatred and variance spring up in you, and that's more important than serving God, is that a relationship with someone besides your spouse, is that more important than worshiping God? Is that money or that job more important to you than worshiping God? Is that friend that wants you to keep you out of church every other Sunday, are they more important to you than worshiping God? I'm going to tell you, church, we let too many things take the place of our time alone with God, not just at the church, but in our homes and in our everyday lives. Everything takes the place of God. And I'm going to tell you, if you give place to Him, the devil will take everything you got. He'll take your time and tell you you don't have time to worship today. So, might as well do it now, hadn't we? Second, I got four thoughts here. I'm on number two. We'll get done sometime today. I didn't say this morning, but maybe later on this afternoon for those who stick around. Secondly, God deserves it. He commands it, and He deserves it. He alone possesses the attributes that merit our worship and service. He is good. His goodness. Look at Psalms 100, verse 4. Let me find it. Or we could all read it off the wall, maybe. There it is. Psalm chapter 100 verse 4 says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. Verse 5 goes on to say, for the Lord is good. I done read that. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. The Lord is good. You don't have any other reason to worship Him. Worship Him because He's good. Well, the problem with that, I think some people haven't seen the goodness of God. They haven't experienced, they don't think they've experienced it. Well, yes, you have. You woke up this morning breathing, didn't you? You got out of bed and you walked to the bathroom and you brushed your teeth and combed your hair and every day you get up and go to work. God's good. His mercy endures forever. You haven't been serving Him like you should. God's good. He didn't take your life today. He gave you another opportunity to turn to Him today. He's good God. He's a merciful God. He's gracious to us. And we ought to worship Him. He deserves our worship. He is good. When I think of His goodness and what He's done for me, there's an old song, when I think of His goodness and what He's done for me, it makes me want to just dance. And it makes me want to shout. It makes me want to sing. It makes me want to praise. It just makes me want to just tell Him how good He really is and to display that in my emotions and my actions, to let God know that He's good. Just give me a second here. God's good, and I'm just going to run just a little bit because God is good. Amen. God is good. I tell you what, it wouldn't hurt you to do that every now and then. I don't think you have to run the aisle. I think though you ought to every now and then tell God He's good and let Him know you mean it. Well, wait a minute, preacher. You just made an idiot out of yourself. That's all right. I'm an idiot for Jesus. I'm also out of breath. Too fat to be doing that stuff. But I need to display His goodness. And the Holy Spirit told me to run, so I just run. He deserves it. Some of you are so laid back, so set back, and so set in your ways, you won't hardly raise a little pinky to give God praise. You ain't going to step up out of your comfort zone and go do something silly like the preacher did. I ain't going to make a fool out of myself. Well, I'm a fool for Jesus. Some of you go to a basketball game or a football game, and I've been there when you've been there. And I've seen you yell. I've seen you shout. I've seen you jump up and all but pull your hair out. Come on now, you get any given Sunday afternoon during the NFL football season, you'll see 100,000 people sitting in a stadium. They'll paint their bodies. Fat guys bigger than me will strip off their shirts in 20 degree weather, paint their bodies up some ridiculous color, put on a stupid wig or a mask, and get out there and make a fool for themselves because of that football team. And we come to an enclosed sanctuary with people of like precious faith, and we're afraid to get up and move. We're afraid to testify. We're afraid that somebody might make fun of us. Help me, Jesus. God deserves your worship. He's good. He's full of mercy. Exodus chapter 4, verse 31. Let me find it. So the people believed. Moses had just come back from the wilderness journey where he had been exiled, where he had had his experience at the burning bush. And he came to Aaron, brought Aaron with him and Zipporah, his sister. And they just did some things. They'd circumcised the men. They'd done some things. And the Bible says in verse 3, so the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel after 400 years, that he had looked on their affliction, then they bowed their heads in worship. Maybe you feel like you don't have no reason. Well, I want to tell you something. After 400, how many of you lived 400 years in bondage? Not a one of you. You're not going to live 400 years. Well, I feel like my life's been just nothing but trouble and bondage and heartache. They lived 400 years knowing what God had promised them. And when they finally seen it beginning to take place, they couldn't help but bow their heads and worship God. You might be in affliction today. You might be in bondage to some disease today. You may have some other situations in your life today that just seems like it's keeping you down. I want to encourage you, just bow your head, because you know that the mercy of God is yours, and you can, and that He's good, and that His mercy endures forever, and just begin to worship Him. Bow your heads to Him. Thirdly, He deserves our worship because of His holiness. Psalms 99 verse 5 says, "Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at His footstool, for He is holy." Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. He's holy. He deserves it. Did I give you the right scripture? It don't matter. That's the one I'm going to use. I'm going to proclaim it anyway. I have it written down that way. He's holy. We ought to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. I know it's difficult. So, well, I just don't think I can be as holy as God wants me to be. You're not. You never will be. But you are this. You are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. When God sees you, He sees the blood. And He sees that you've been set free from the bondage of sin. He sees His Son's sacrifice for you, and that makes you holy. That makes you holy. We are His workmanship. You ought to worship Him. You ought to be glad that although you can't be holy, God is holy. But when God sees you, He sees the Son, who's made you righteous. Set you in right standing with Him. You can't do it on your own. You can't merit it on your own. You can't work your way into God's presence. You got to come through Jesus. Fourthly, He has creative power. Revelations 4 and 11. John the Revelator wrote, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure were created. All things. You and I are all things. Everything's been created by God for His pleasure. It's been twisted. It's been warped. It's been ruined. But God created it for His pleasure. You and I were created for His good pleasure. We ought to be worshiping Him today, giving Him praise and honor that He deserves. I'm going to tell you something. When the men of old saw the holiness and the universal glory of God, they could not stand on their feet. Moses, when he was at the burning bush, had to get the shoes off his feet and just worship God. God said, "Moses, get them off. The ground you're standing on is holy." We forget that. We come to church and we forget that we've invited the presence of the Lord into this place. That when we come in here, it's a holy place. We're standing on holy ground today. The house of God, a house of worship. We've profaned it, I know, but it's a house of worship. God descended in a cloud when Moses was up on the mountain. When he's on that mountain, God descended. Moses couldn't stand for the glory of God. I don't know what we'd do if we really had the real glory of God come into this place. A few years back, I read a book by Tom Tenney, something like that. He talked about how the glory of God came into the place where he was preaching one day. He'd been praying for it, asking for it. And he said, God struck, come down. He said, he said it split the pulpit in two. Preacher had to fall on his face before God and just weep and cry. The glory of the Lord was so thick in there that people couldn't stand for it. Oh, if we'd see, I'm going to stand back. Oh, if we'd see that. You know what some people do? They'd rub their chins and they'd be cynical. I don't believe that's God. Pulpit just split in half. I wonder how that preacher pulled that off. And he ruined a perfectly good pulpit. Now we'll have to buy a new one. That would be some people's attitude to that. They'd sit back in their little corners and say, I can't believe. I don't believe it. There'd be others, though, that'd fall prostrate on their faces. They'd begin to worship God, and they wouldn't be able to stand in His presence. When Paul, on the road to Damascus, with a letter of intent to take people, Christians, captive, to kill them if he must, bring them back to Jerusalem for trial, he had an experience with Jesus Christ, and the Bible said a great light shone. Knocked him to the ground, and he couldn't get up. When he did get up, he was blind. Directed him to go on into Damascus, and there he told him in a dream or a vision that Ananias would be coming by to tell him what he must do. But he fell prostrate before the Lord and recognized that it was Jesus. He said, he called him by name, Lord, why? He said, why in the world, Paul, do you keep kicking against the pricks, man? Why do you keep fighting me? You're a chosen vessel. Then John the Revelator in chapter 1 of John, he couldn't stand for the presence of God. This is that same John that laid on Jesus' bosom. Same John that ran to the garden tomb. Same John that was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. Same John that was burned, boiled in burning oil and hot oil. Who finally got to this place, he had a vision of Jesus, wrote to us and give to us the book of Revelations of the end times. But he couldn't stand before the presence of Jesus. And you read the story over there, you go over there and read, let me go read it. I'm almost done. Let me read that over in Revelations to you. Revelations chapter 4, 1, verse 9 through 17. I think it's good. If I could find it. It says this. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and the kingdom of the patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Don't you think it would be good if we get in the Spirit on the Lord's day? What a difference it'd make in all of our lives if we'd get in the Spirit. At least get in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Amen. He said, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud as of a trumpet saying, and now he knew the voice of Jesus, but this was just different. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and what you see write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. Verse 12, then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one that like the Son of Man. Now he knew who Jesus was, and he knew what he looked like. He said, I saw one that looked like Jesus, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell as dead at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. But you see what John had to do. He said, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. I couldn't stand in the true presence of Jesus Christ. I knew him when he was on earth. I laid at his feet. I laid in his bosom. I followed him everywhere he went. I obeyed his commandments. I was one of the first at his empty tomb. I watched him crucified, but I couldn't stand in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I had to fall as if I were dead. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Come on, give him praise. John said, I couldn't do it. And then the final reason, I didn't think I'd finish, but I will. Men need to give it. You'll not find true personal fulfillment apart from glad submission and worship of God. You won't find real fulfillment until you totally submit to God. Why do you think so many people are confused about themselves today? Multimillionaires and reality TV stars, their lives are in shambles because they don't know the true God. Their God is money. Their God is fame. Their God is prestige. And it won't bring fulfillment. It never brings an ounce of peace. The money, all the money in the world will not give you the real peace. Candy Hemphill used to sing a song. I'm sure she still sings it. And it goes like this. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace I have, dear Lord, is in you. With all life's frustrations, I need you, and I know I do. Because the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. Nothing in this world will give you the peace that you need. Nothing in this world will bring you the joy that you need. But I'm going to tell you, joy comes in the morning when the dark gives way to the light. And all God's children walk by faith and not by sight. We're going somewhere one of these days, church. And we need to give worship now. When you get into heaven, what do you think you're going to do? You're going to think you're going to be up there and go house to house gossiping? You think there's going to be a casino on every block in heaven to go give your worship to? Uh-uh. It's going to be a place of worship to Almighty God. You won't be riding your four-wheelers on a Sunday up there. You'll be giving worship to God. Oh, you just can't keep from hitting nerves, can you? I'm going to tell you, church, I'm concerned about the church. We need to learn to worship God and quit putting everything in His place. We need to give it. He's the creator. We're the creatures. We've been created by Him. People, anybody that adopts to themselves master, as their master, anything less than God, are building their lives on quicksand. If you worship anything other than God, your life's on quicksand. It ain't going to last. Your house is going to fall. The Bible says it'll be a big fall, a great fall. Bible says that there's a broad way and a wide gate that leads to destruction, and many find it. But there's a narrow gate and a straight way that leads to life evermore, everlasting, and few be there that find it. You need to think about those two statements for a moment, church. There's a broad way and a wide gate that leads to destruction, and many find it. Jesus said there's a narrow gate and a straight way that leads to Him, and few find it. That ought to scare you. That ought to frighten you just a little bit. I'm your pastor. I've been serving God over 40 years. I've been pastoring this church for almost 26 years. And when I read statements like that from my Savior, it frightens me. It makes me pause and think and reflect on my life. Am I where I ought to be? Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? Oh, you worry about it? I don't worry about it, but I think about it. I don't want to have preached this gospel to people for 26 years and lose my soul because I failed to live up to His word. I don't want you to. So He deserves it when we need to give it. I'll move on. When you worship God, you are participating in the occupation of heaven. If you look at Revelation, the 4th chapter, you'll see it names off the different beasts with these wings, and they're giving God praise and worship daily, all day long. In fact, they're up there singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." There's some other things that they'll say, but he's there. They're there worshiping him. That's the occupation of heaven. I believe we got loved ones, and we like to think about our loved ones being up there looking down and watching over us and helping us do all these different things. No, we got guardian angels that God has dispatched to each of us for that stuff. And maybe our loved ones look down and watch us, and maybe they don't. I'm not sure about that. But I do know this, that when they get to heaven, they probably, I don't think they've totally forgotten about us, but I think they're so preoccupied with what's going on in heaven that they're not giving you near as much thought as you're giving them. You could have went all day and not said that, preacher. I don't know what for sure, but I know this. They're up there worshiping God, and they're preoccupied with it. And they're glad to be there, and they wouldn't trade places with you for nothing. They wouldn't come back. And a person who worships God finds joyful satisfaction in the present. See, if you learn to be a worshiper, no matter what the trial, no matter what happens in your life, you will find the good in it. Because you know God will bring you out of it. And you can be more satisfied and more content in your life. Because you're trusting God. You may not have a nickel to your name, but you trust God. You just know God's going to come through. You just know God's going to come through. He says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver them out of them all. So what he says? Many are the afflictions, but the Lord shall deliver them out of them all. So the things we fret about today won't even happen. Some of them that will happen is not going to be near as bad as we anticipated. And when we get about 2 years down the road, or maybe 6 months, maybe 2 days, we're going to look back and go, that wasn't all that bad. Have you ever, yesterday, there was a little accident over at Melissa's house, and something happened, and something got broke, and the little rascal that broke it, well, he run off crying, and I don't know what was said before he run off crying, and he's scared to death at breaking that thing. Was going to be very disastrous for him. Might get a spanking, you know, at least get a big chewing out, and it's just terrible, just terrible. Well, finally it was found out by the adults what happened, and guess what happened? Nothing. It'll be okay. That thing can be fixed. Come on out of the bathroom, quit crying, join the fun, it's going to be okay. And if you ask him today, he probably, although he remembers it, he also will remember it wasn't near as bad as he anticipated. Well, that's kind of like serving God. If you worship God and serve God and put him first, all those things you're worried about, normally they're going to work out. They will just work out. Quit fretting it. Quit worrying yourself to death. Come on now, stop it. It's going to be all right. And God deserves your worship, and you need to give it. Let's worship him. Would you stand with me? You see, God commands your worship, God deserves your worship, and we need to give worship. We're just going to close this service out. No music. I just want you, in your own way, to worship God. If you're not a Christian today, the first thing you need to do is ask him to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness.